The thing that sticks out to you about Augusta is it is so exclusive 99.9% of the year. But for those 7 days, 8 days, and 9 days now with the ANWA, it is the most fan centric place you could possibly be, and it's everywhere. I mean, we got to shake hands, and you have Condoleezza Rice, you have the CEO from AT&T, you have the great marker that is Jeff Knox out at Augusta, thanking you for coming and being there. And like, are you kidding? I just walked out with a sausage biscuit and a coffee and a beer for $5. Like, this is the greatest thing ever.
Hey guys, welcome to another Best Ball Roundtable. This is Robbie, joined by Jonathan, my buddy here. And we've got a big crew today, and we are going to preview and talk about the Masters, everybody's favorite. It's Masters week, or we're recording it a week prior to, but this will come out Masters week. But yeah, we're excited. Masters always kind of the kickoff to the season. And I know these guys are excited, ready to chat it up. But we've got a great group joining us. So Jonathan, I'm going to say you last, but let's start. I'll go around the horn of how I see everybody. Mark, why don't you start with us?
Hi, everybody. I'm Mark. I'm known by many as Mark the Caddy at Caddy Tales on X or Twitter, and also host of the Caddy Tales podcast. I'm coming to you from the beautiful state of Wisconsin, specifically Sheboygan along Lake Michigan, where we're about to get 6 inches of snow this next 24, 48 hours, even though it has now drifted into April. So good to be with you all.
Yeah. One other question, Mark, have you been to the Masters? And if so, when was your first time?
No, I have never been, but now that I just see the absolute passion as I've gotten more involved on X and in the golf Twitter community, it's absolutely on the bucket list. It's so special to so many people, and someday I hope to be a part of it.
All right. AJ, why don't you jump in here next?
Yes, sir. So, name's AJ Stuckey. I'm from Evansville, Indiana. I caddy at Victoria National full time. And Masters wise, I've never been to the Masters. I was just down there in Augusta like a few weeks ago, and I got to see, we played Augusta Country Club, and I got to see the big green stands at Augusta National and the bunker on 18 and 12's green and the caddies walking down. Just made me want to get there that much more. So hopefully I get the lottery soon. If not, it looks like I'll be spending a little bit more money.
There you go. All right, Jason, man in the middle.
Going. I'm Jason Oberdeer. I'm at Blue Streak National. The Twitter handle or X is Blue Streak NGC. I'm from Uniontown, Ohio. I'm a teacher, and I have been to the Masters. I've been fortunate enough to attend on three separate occasions. The first time was in 2010 when Tiger had his return after the big scandal. So that was pretty cool. And then I went in 2014 and 2015.
All right, great. Glad you're here, Joe. Fresh off a move to a new kind of a golf destination.
Yeah, I'd say a little bit. I'm Joe. I'm Joe Golf Traveler on Twitter and Instagram. Yeah, just moved from the Boston area down to Pinehurst a week and a half ago, and loving it. Loving the weather down here already. Mark, sorry about what you're getting. I have been to the Masters twice. Jason, you and I were there the same year, actually. 2014 was my first time there, and then last year I got to go to Sunday at the Masters, and that was pretty special.
Very nice. Well, being in Pinehurst, we will definitely be getting you back on here to chat about a tournament that's coming towards your area, I believe, this summer.
Yeah,
So the U.S.
bleachers are already
Open.
going up.
Yeah, bleachers going up. Things are changing. David Kirsch, if you watched the Ryder Cup roundtable we had, what, back in the fall, this was one of our guests. David, welcome back.
Thank you. I'm better known as Eli Kirsch's dad on this podcast,
That's
but
right.
we've been down to Pinehurst quite a few times. Looking forward to getting back to the World Championship there in August. 1st of August, we'll be there a couple of weeks after the U.S. Open this year. But I've been to Augusta 5 times. I've done 2011, 12. We drove through the night. may or may not have slept in our rain suits in a very sketchy hotel somewhere outside of Augusta because we had picked up $100 tickets because we knew it was going to rain. And we actually got rained out, but we got a free, got refunded and had spent about 4.5 hours at the tournament. So we got a free one on that one. And been to the par three. And then last year I had a really cool opportunity. Eli's buddy Knox Mason from here in Nashville actually competed and won the drive, chip and putt. And he had a lot of tickets, and his thing was, what's going to help me do best is bring my friends and their dad. So we all got to go down, and Eli got to go down Magnolia Lane and walk through the clubhouse and the locker room and all of the special access places with him. And then we got to obviously watch him win it on the 18th green and then step over the next day and attend the practice round together and hang out with Tennessee's Scott Stallings. So that was a really good weekend last year.
Yes, better known as Eli's dad for sure. Eli, guys, pay attention. He's going to be he'll be playing at Augusta here probably in a few years. So really cool. Jonathan, welcome. Yeah.
So most of the folks here on the Whole Story Podcast would know me. I'm Jonathan. I'm the guy that's not very good at golf, but I do live in Augusta, so I get a chance to go to the course. I'm trying to remember the first time a buddy of mine in town had some access to badges, and he doesn't like golf. And I was chatting with him about 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning, and he goes, do you really want to go? I'm like, yeah, I really want to go. And he goes, give me a minute. And he texts me back. He's like, come on up. I got a badge for you. So half day, the first time I got to go. I got to go to Anwa a couple years ago with a hospitality thing with my wife. And then last year, I got a call on Sunday night from someone saying, hey, we've got some tickets. Do you want to go to the Masters? And I'd been out sick. And it's like, I don't know. She goes, well, they're Berkman's place. I'm like, yeah, I'll be there whatever time you need me to be there in the morning. So we got to go to Berkman's place, try to putt on the glass fake replica greens. So it was fantastic. But if anybody, and we offer this up, as a matter of fact, one of our guests, Jeff Marsh, is coming to stay at my place next week. If you ever come to Augusta, you got a place to stay. I would open up to anybody that's listening right now, since we only have one person that usually listens. So like, hey, the listener, if you're listening today, and you need to come to Augusta and not stay in a roach infested hotel for $100 and sleep in your rain suits, I've got some room. We can make it up here.
There you go. Well, you're making a lot of promises there, Jonathan. I think if, like your wife said, if everybody shows up,
it'd be such a party. Like, it would be fantastic. we've got a putting green. I've got a pool we can heat up. We could chip in the yard. And what would be better? Well, how much better would it be than you have like 20 random people that love golf show up and hang out at your house for the day or two? I'm in all the way.
Yep. Well, that'd be a lot of fun. I've gotten to go three, four, five times, I think, to the tournament, a couple practice rounds, and I think one Thursday round. And the last time I've actually won the lottery twice in like a 20 something year period of time, which I know is crazy to think about. I'll probably never get it again. But the last time I got to take my wife and two kids, and we were there 2016, and they were there on the Wednesday practice round and got all the autographs from the pros. It was a lot of fun. Just the Masters experience, right? It's hard to beat. And I guess, Jason, let me ask you, and let's kind of move on here. Describe your first their thoughts the first time you walked through the gates of Augusta National.
Yeah, so it's pretty surreal. I mean, obviously you have all that buildup of you know, getting your ticket and then waiting, and but I mean, you walk in and the place is just absolutely immaculate. It's everything that you would think it is. I mean, there's no blade of grass is out of place. I mean, the place is like heaven on earth. I mean, that's how I describe it to absolutely everybody that I see. If you're a golfer, I mean, that's what heaven like looks like to me. And, it's just absolutely incredible. And, you know, everybody that is there experiencing it is so grateful and thankful to be there. It's unlike any other sporting event I've ever been to. I mean, it's just absolutely incredible.
Joe, talk about the course a little bit. Like when you first saw, I mean, Jason mentioned it, you know, perfect, heaven on earth, great, you know, words that a lot of people have thrown out there. But when you first saw the course, right, you got past the merch areas, you walked through that little area, and you first see like the green grass ahead of you. What was that feeling like?
I'll tell you, and I say this to a lot of people. It feels like, I'm sure you've all seen the movie Rudy, when the dad got to go to the game and the dad said, "This is the most beautiful thing these eyes have ever seen."
Yep.
Was exactly what I felt like at Augusta, because we first time we went was on a Wednesday. So we ran to the par three and we put our chairs down on the eighth green. And then we started touring because a friend of mine from Atlanta has been there several times. So he went with us. And Jonathan, kind of a story like yours, actually, real quick, where my best friend out in Boston won the lottery the first time he put in for it. So we called our friend in Atlanta and we said, "We got a deal for you. You go to the Masters with us. We stay at your house." He said, "Deal." I said, "You're going to ask your wife?" He said, "Deal." But it was amazing. I mean, it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. And then we started on the back nine and we went, you know, 10, 11, 12. To me, I think 10 is the most underrated hole on the course. And when you start walking down that hole and you see that bend in the hill, it's amazing, really amazing.
It is quite the hole, especially Sunday when the leaders get to number 10, right? Because they can either make you or break you, depending on where you hit that that tee shot. Kirsch, you talked about getting to go in areas that others maybe not have seen. Everything we hear, it's just as good as what the normal spectators can see, normal patrons can see. But describe that experience of maybe being, quote unquote, behind the scenes a little bit.
Yeah, it's hard. I think it was 2014. It all lined up exactly how it is this year with the U.S. Open at Pinehurst and then the PGA at Valhalla. And that year I attended all three of those in the U.S. And the thing that sticks out to you about Augusta is it is so exclusive 99.9% of the year. But for those 7 days, 8 days, and 9 days now with the ANWA, it is the most fan-centric place you could possibly be. And it's everywhere. I mean, we got to shake hands and you have Condoleezza Rice, you have the CEO from AT&T, you have, you know, the great marker that is Jeff Knox out at Augusta, thanking you for coming and being there. And you get to shake their hand and they're like, "Hey, this is awesome. Yeah, we're really happy." And it, you know, like, "Are you kidding? I just walked out with a sausage biscuit and a coffee and a beer for $5. Like, this is the greatest thing ever." And I think that's the thing that stands out when you go to the U.S. Open and Pinehurst is awesome, but it's not cheap, right? You go to Valhalla, it's going to be an expensive experience. If you're at Augusta, though, that experience is unlike anything you have on any part of any trip, whether it's a basketball, a football, a baseball. It is a completely unique experience to the sport fan, in my opinion.
Okay. Jonathan, you mentioned you got to go to Berkman's last year, and I am wearing the pullover that you got me. Thank you. But for someone, most of us, most people out there haven't been back there. You mentioned the lightning fast putting green, replica putting green, with caddies guiding you on how to and where to put it. But just describe that experience, the buildings, the meals. What was that like?
Yeah, fortunately, I'd already been to the Masters before, so I didn't feel obligated to go enjoy the course. I mean, we went out, we saw a couple holes, and we followed a couple holes of practice. But and you walk in, they've got a separate pro shop that has separate items. So like Robbie's logo that he's got on his shirt is a Berkman's logo. No idea that was a real thing, but apparently they don't sell some of the stuff. The restaurants, anything you want, as many people there, everything's completely free included. So we stopped and had breakfast. Then we go outside and there's two separate greens. The first one is you walk through this little caddy hole thing. Any putter that you could ever possibly imagine, brand new, pick out whichever one you like. And then they've got a scorecard and they tell you they've got caddies standing there and you get to putt through three or four different holes. Then I think we went out on the course, came back. My wife was going to go to pick up a gnome or something like that from the regular shop. So I went to the extra putting course, which was the replica greens. And again, you've got real caddies in their full white get-ups. And they're like, "Okay, you're going to putt 6 feet away from where you think you should. And the ball's going to trickle down to exactly where it's supposed to go." But it's just magical. It was, again, all everyone here has described walking into the National and being there for the first time and how picturesque and perfect. Then you get into Berkman's, it's quieter, which I don't know how you can get. I mean, even with thousands of people on the course, it's still really quiet. Berkman's was even quieter this year. And I can't imagine ever getting to go to these things, although I didn't think I'd ever get to go to Berkman's. There's also a sports bar that they've built across the road, $17,000 for tickets for the week, plus unlimited food, unlimited drink. Like, it's basically the Berkman's of a sports bar is what they're touting it as. And so just all of those things culminate to how amazing it is. And then if you don't have $17,000, like Kirsch said, you can get a chicken biscuit for like $2. You get an iced tea for another $2. They have stopped taking cash. So if anybody is listening and you're going for the first time, you're going to need a card on you. But yeah, just amazing all the way around.
Yeah, it is quite the experience. You mentioned your wife going to get the gnome, and that's one thing. You know, Seth McWhorter and I talked on his new podcast, Pictures on the Scorecard. You know, he is a graphic designer, creative guy in the golf space. You know, a lot of the No Laying Up logos, Tree Farm logos, and many others he's done. But we were talking about just logo and how Augusta National has taken the branding. I mean, I think I see what three Masters things here, four. All right, Jason, hat there too. But the merchandise, right? Everybody wants something. The gnome's kind of the big deal. AJ, let me start with you, right? If you get to walk into the Augusta National Pro Shop, the one that the patrons get to go to, what's on your list? Like, what are you wanting to get?
Dude, I'm dropping $1,000 for sure. It's anything and everything I'm grabbing, no doubt. 100%. Polos, hats, ball markers. I'm calling friends and seeing what they need. We're buying everything.
You wouldn't be the only one. Mark, how about you? What would be your? Yeah,
you know, I don't know. It's interesting to think about. I was fortunate enough to go to the Ryder Cup here at Whistling Straits, and I had no concept before that how big the merchandise area would be. I mean, this thing was just massive, and then you're like, the whole week is just packed with people. They're just printing money in there for, you know, the PGA and stuff. But and so people are just like AJ loading up with everything. I'd like a putter cover so that if I ever go and I have a caddy of my own, I can kind of glare at him if he drops it, just like people glare at me when I drop theirs, and I can just feel like a boss. But no, probably like a some sort of head cover. And then but that hat that Jonathan's got, the Best Ball Masters themed hat, that's some pretty nice swag too. So try to get that in there, get a licensing deal with Augusta. So yeah.
We'll just trade out for some passes. We don't need licensing. They can sell as many of these hats as they want. So if you're listening from the Augusta National, this is not intended to replicate your logo design. However, you've heard it here first. People like it and want it. So
there you go.
Yeah, that's right.
Jason, you've obviously bought a couple of things with the Masters logo when you were there. What did you not get that you really wanted to?
Oof, that's a great question, because like AJ, I've probably spent $1,000. Oh gosh, that's a great one. So the last time I was there, I don't know if they had the gnomes. Like I said, that was 9 years ago, and I think those are just,
I think it's pretty new. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they recently started those, and those are pretty cool, especially this year. This year's looks pretty cool. That's a great question. I'd have to say, I mean, I hate saying it because it's like probably what everybody would say is the gnome, but yeah, it's pretty cool because that's probably the only thing I don't have.
Yeah. If you guys have been, Dave, you've been, and so kind of like AJ was describing, like buying $1,000 worth of stuff. It's incredible when you go in there and you do see people with they pull out the list and then they're like, all right, give me 20 of those hats and 30 of those hats and 50 of these polo shirts. And the bill starts adding up. Kirsch, did you see any outrageous purchases while you were there?
Yeah, one of the dads that we were with walked out of there 45 minutes after the rest of us did, and had an $1,800 bill that he was holding in his hand, and it was legit. Showed it. We looked at it. I just nodded and said, "Good for you, man." but yeah, no, you see everybody. It's a lot of pressure, especially if you start advertising. I recommend don't telling people that you're going until after the fact. And then tell them about the experience, and then maybe take care of a couple of people. But it's very different, right? You don't know how many times you're ever going to get to go. I've been so lucky that, you know, I've had the chance to, you know, this time I'm going to get my dad. I'm going to focus on my dad or my brother, or the boy. Now I've got two boys. You know, first time we went, I had a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, and I was poor. And you're like, what can I really get? But yeah, you see the people that are definitely piling up for either eBay, or they are just the best friend that anybody's ever had in the world. And it stinks, because I know it, even though they try to hold stuff back, you could see last year, you know, you go to the par three, there's less that you have to buy than you did if you were there on the Monday. And, you know, we got to shop last year on the Sunday of drive, chip and putt, where there's 1200 people total on the grounds. Well, that's a completely awesome experience, because then Monday you're walking by 45 minute lines of people waiting to get in, and you've already done all your shopping. So just be patient. That's my biggest thing is be patient and know what you like, and then focus on that.
I think something really cool about it, though, is if you want to see inventory control and service, we talked about just the experience, but inventory and service perfected, I would say, watch what happens, right? Because it doesn't seem like stock ever runs out. I mean, you know, they have these interns that work through the night to restock everything. Jonathan mentioned last year, it's, you know, RFIDs on the bags and all the merch. So you drop it through a little scanner, and everything scans without having to do one thing. It's really cool what they're doing, taking technology to, I guess, to speed up the process so that maybe you're not spending those 45 minutes next time and you can get back out and watch some golf. Joe, they mentioned earlier, Jonathan and David did, talking about concessions. And I want to ask you guys, you've all seen signs and see that Augusta National, the Masters, keeps prices incredibly reasonable. Joe, I'll start with you. What's your food item when you go? Like, are you the pimento cheese guy?
I am the pimento cheese guy.
Okay.
We can end the conversation right there.
On one day, how many do you go through?
I think last year I had 3.
Okay. So that's about what, $4, $5 total?
right. Give them a 20 and you get change. It's unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, even the beers are inexpensive. Everything's inexpensive. They really do a nice job with it. I mean, let's face it, they could crush people if they wanted to. I mean, I've been to March Madness, Super Bowl, other majors, U.S. Open, the PGA, and they kill you on concessions. So it's really nice that they do this.
And, I mean, you mentioned the cheap beer and beverages and stuff. Again, talking with Seth, he brought up the cups, right? So the cups are a merchandise item that you get with your beverage, and it's kind of one of those things later, you know, post April, you're sitting there and you drinking a beverage out of your Master's cup. It's a little badge of honor. Like, hey, look where I was in 2024. Right.
Right. I have 2 from each, 2 from 14, 2 from last year. And so next week they'll be coming out. They actually did not go in the pod that's making its way down to Pinehurst. Those I brought with me, 'cause I knew I'd probably, not have the pod here in time to get them.
Very nice. Very nice. You're not one of those cup stack guys that has a whole ton of them.
No. Not like the guys that's on 16 at Scottsdale.
Yeah. Not like those guys. All right. So, Mark, what's your go-to food item from the Masters?
Well, you know, I, not to piggyback on Joe there, but it's got to be pimento cheese, just because I've never had it. And I don't know if I'd like it or not, but it's going to be something that is a new experience for me. I mean,
you're in Wisconsin, so you're a cheese guy.
Yeah. But you know, I don't know. I've just never come across it or had it. And I've heard kind of dramatic reactions both ways, you know? And so I've wondered, do people romanticize it because it's at Augusta and it would be like garbage everywhere else? Or is it, you know, really good? Because some people say they hate it. Some people say they love it. I have no idea, but it sounds fascinating to me. Maybe that's the wrong word. It's a cheese sandwich, for crying out loud. But I'd have to go with that, try that. And now I'm almost like I don't want to try it anywhere else before there. I mean, you got to have that be the place.
Yeah. AJ, how about you?
I'm going the peach ice cream sandwich there all day. And I have a dairy issue, too. I don't care. I'm eating 10 of them, you know?
That's awesome. That's all. They are incredible, by the way.
Oh, I've never had one. I would love to, though.
Yeah. David, what's your go-to?
I'm gonna zag and say breakfast is the underrated portion, because you get ahead of the lines. You know, you have to be the person that's at the gate early. You get in there, you get your shopping done, and then you immediately go grab breakfast. And you know, before your whichever direction you choose to walk, you get a sausage sandwich, a chicken sandwich, something with egg. You know, you go that route, get it going, because every single thing is great. And then you don't have to worry about, you can go at 2 o'clock or you can go at 10 o'clock and get the pimento cheese. And you don't have to go in the middle of that rush when, you know, even though they do a fantastic job moving people in, there's still, you know, you get around Amen Corner at the wrong time and you're going to wait a little bit. And it is, but yeah, I'm going to go with breakfast, the breakfast sandwiches, but the chicken salad sandwich is better than people think. And the other one, just the regular chicken sandwich, tastes an awful lot like maybe a fast food chain sandwich that you may have all had at some point that is also homed in Georgia.
Yeah. Jason, you seem to agree with the breakfast nod.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's totally underrated. And, you know, you get in there and you get one of those chicken biscuits or, you know, like you said, the sausage. I mean, they're absolutely fantastic. And, you know, you kind of load up early so you don't have to, you know, hit those lines, you know, immediately. And yeah, it's fantastic. And they only serve it to, I think, like 10 o'clock. So you get in there before, you know, everybody else does.
Yeah. I would say don't sleep on the barbecue sandwich. They're incredibly good if you've never had one of those. Jonathan, I know you're eating high class over at Berkman's. Did you get any of the normal cheap food?
Yeah. Every time I walk past one, I stop and get a sandwich and an unsweet iced tea because I'm still in a heart of hearts from Illinois. So, every time I pass one of those places, my favorite part, we were talking about how customer centric it is, patron centric, the Masters is. My favorite part is the fact they have a sign that tells you when you have 5 minutes left. You walk up and whenever you get to that spot, they're like, you'll be done in 5 minutes. Yeah. The barbecue, the breakfast, here's the deal, Mark, about pimento cheese. I don't like pimento cheese on its own, but if you stack that on a sausage biscuit, or you put your pimento cheese on a chicken sandwich, it's amazing. But the other thing, if you're trying to skip the crowd, is that if you go, I think it's around the 16th hole, there's a smaller place to buy merchandise instead of the main one by the intro number one. You can get through a lot faster. There's a few extra things they don't have, but for the most part, they have it. I eat all day, the entire, I mean, for those of you who've listened, it wouldn't be that big of a shock. I stop every single time I pass a concession place and get a sandwich or something. So by the end of the day, I mean, I'm walking. That's a lot of walking, right? So I got to keep my calories up. It's probably 5-6 sandwiches, at least 3 or 4 iced teas almost every time. Because I'll just grab 2 iced teas every time and then put my pockets full of all the other stuff.
And it's still about $20 total.
That's right. 20 bucks.
Yep. All right. So the Masters, they call the folks their patrons. And it is a different experience. I think, Jason, you said it best. Everybody seems to have a respect about where they are. You know, they always talk about no running, right? No running on the course. It seems like when you go through those gates and if you're finally there, it's everybody's, I don't know, on their best manners. Is that the thing to say? I mean, nobody's shouting like you hear in some of these tournaments. It's definitely not like the waste management. But Kirsch, let me start with you, man. What is your take on the patrons? How would you describe them to somebody that hadn't been there?
Excited and nervous. That would be, there's an excitement. You start talking to everybody when you're waiting in line and you're waiting, the sun isn't even up yet. And you're standing there and you're talking and you're all hungry. You're all excited. You're all waiting to go to the merchandise. Are you going to go back 9 first, front 9 first, camp out at a hole, move around? What's your plan? So you have all that nervous energy, but once you get in, there is a sense of like, man, I really don't want to do the wrong thing because I'd like to come back. And I have a feeling if you do the wrong thing, you may not ever be back. So there is that, but it's that there's this, how cool is that moment? And the engagement level is so much higher there than any place you're going to be throughout an entire year because nobody has their phone. You are completely tech-free unless you sneak in your Apple Watch, done that. But you are completely tech-free. So nobody's standing there with their cell phones and nobody's looking. Everyone's experiencing the exact same thing the exact same way. And it's refreshing. But you have that excitement when you see somebody skip it across the first time on 16, or you see your first shot land into 12. We came in the second time, Jonathan's way down through kind of behind 5 and 16. And you can make that turn and you can go over. And the first ball that we ever saw that year, this ball landed on 13, and we were trying to figure out who was laying up. We had no idea. And you're just looking around and you're talking to 25 complete strangers. It's barely sunny out. You don't know where this ball came from. And you realize Bubba just teed off from the tee and went over the trees and took some ridiculous line. And there's the ball just sitting in a spot 140 yards away from the green. You didn't even think it was possible. And now you've had this shared experience because you were all locked in on what was happening. And I think that's one of the most underrated things.
Jonathan, something to add there?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, you can't take technology, but if you want to have a great time, there's a free phone bank. Kirsch knows about this because you only have like three numbers in your life that are memorized, right? The first time I went, it was my grandma, 618-684-2892. But there's unlimited long distance phone calls, phone banks. So you can walk up and dial a number and call whoever you want. And I did sneak in an Apple Watch that had my contacts on it. So I scrolled down and found David Kirsch. And I called him while I was at the Masters. And he answered because he's like, well, it's a 706 number. I think I know who that is. And it was great. But it's probably the most fun I ever have is calling people when I'm at the National. Whenever you don't have any way to talk to them, you're like, hey, guess where I'm at today? I'm at the Masters. So
you've got an unsweet tea in one hand and a rotary phone in the other.
That's exactly right.
That's exactly it.
Joe, what's your, you've been to a number of golf events and stuff. What is your take on the patrons there at Augusta National?
I think they're the best. I mean, boy, oh boy, last year, yeah, we floated around the course a little bit and then we hunkered down in the bleachers to the right of 15 green, which is a great spot to be because you got 15 green, you can see them coming in and then you can see the 16th tee, you can see the 16th green. So it's really a nice spot to sit and watch. And, there were breaks, obviously, some slow play and everything and all that. But boy, I mean, it was, nobody was annoyed. Nobody was, nobody was thinking, oh, this sucks. It was, everybody was just so, as somebody said, it's just that excitement of being there and you're just waiting and the ball comes in and you go crazy and you could see the top of the hill and you try to figure out who it is. And it's really an excellent experience to be a patron amongst other patrons. And as someone else said, I think it's the phone thing too. I think you take the phone out of people's hands. There's no selfies and there's no this and there's no that. I think that makes a big difference. And I really enjoyed it. And I thought it was really neat. And there's a lot of camaraderie too, which I thought was great.
Jason, I don't know if you're buy a Master's chair and put it somewhere guy, but I'm sure you've seen those people that do that. And you talk about the kindness of everybody out there. Describe to somebody that doesn't know about it, but describe the whole chair putting a process. I'm coming back later.
Yeah. So, and I actually wrote that down as we were talking here. I mean, that's one thing that's totally different from anywhere else. If you have one of the Master's chairs, you can set it anywhere you would like on the course and nobody's going to touch it all day long. You could probably put your wallet in there. You could put cash sitting on the top of it and nobody's probably going to take it. And that's, it's basically reserving your spot. You can get up and walk around the course and come back and your chair and everybody else's chairs are in the exact same spot all day long. And it's super cool. Cause if like first thing in the morning, if somebody wants to sit around 16, around the water right there, you set your chair down and it's there all day long. 18, it's there all day long. It's pretty cool. One thing I do want to add is that's a little bit different too, as far as the patrons go. Everybody's an equal. It's not like, you know, other than the Berkmans, you know, you don't have all these corporate tents and, you know, secluded areas where, you know, MasterCard's got their own specific tent. I mean, everybody is an equal, you know, and I think somebody touched on this too, where I think it was David, that, you know, you're walking around and you'll see the members out there walking and talking to everybody. You know, they have their jackets on and they'll approach you. You can talk to them. They're super friendly. And, you know, it's just absolutely great. I love it.
Yeah, it's an incredible experience. All right, so let's get into Masters Memories. For those that haven't been and have been, everybody's watched it, right? So, AJ, let me start with you. What Masters Memory stands out to you?
I think Hideki's caddy. Ever since, that's something that never leaves my mind, honestly. Just the respect factor. I mean, essentially, it goes with the patron thing. You know what I mean? Everybody just has that super big respect factor that you're there. And I mean, obviously, their culture there is different too. They respect a lot of different things the way we do. But yeah, that's a huge thing for me. I would love one of those shirts with his logo on it.
Yeah, as a caddy, seeing some caddy respect, that's awesome.
That's right.
Yeah. Mark, how about you?
I think the last time Tiger won, watching the patrons kind of load up and follow him and knowing, one, his story and how meaningful that was for him to come back from so many trials and tribulations, you know, that was very meaningful to me. I'm always one who is looking for a redemption story like that. And then also to see the people, how much it meant to them. I mean, I'm the same age as Tiger, and so I feel like I've just grown up with him, and he's a big part of my life. You know that that's what it's like for so many people who were there, how special it was, and it's just a very enduring image for me.
All right, Kirsch, how about you?
I was trying to think of something different because I was, you know, obviously 97 Masters was big on me from an age standpoint of like where I was, like that solidified where golf, what it was going to mean to me for the rest of my life, more than likely. The 19 Masters, Eli had just kind of figured out the golf thing and that he was something that he was going to kind of care about and pursue in some form or fashion. So that was special and who we were watching it with. But honestly, it was the 2021, even though it was in the fall and it was weird from a dad perspective, from a teaching perspective, from a, hey, are you watching this perspective? Tiger Woods blew up on the, if everybody remembers that he dunked a couple of balls in the water, hit it long. I mean, just he went from, I have a chance in this tournament to I have completely evaporated from this tournament and had six holes left and birdied five of them. And when you're watching that with somebody who's impressionable and trying to do that, and you're talking about how do you play something through? How do you not give up when something happens? For it to happen on such a public stage in such a isolated spot with no fans that year, and to see him for no reason other than his own pride to care that much and do that, I thought it was a really cool moment to share with a young golfer who's figuring it out.
Very nice. Jason?
Yeah, I was kind of piggyback off the dad thing. So every year I watch the tournament with my dad, and I kind of go back to 2004. I played a little bit of golf, but I wasn't like a huge golf fan back then. But that was when, you know, Phil was trying to get over the hump. And, you know, I was more of a Phil fan than a Tiger guy at that time. And so I just remember watching it with my dad, just cheering him on and just finally seeing him get over the hill. It was pretty cool. And honestly, kind of emotional. I mean, I don't know why, but yeah. So I always think about them because ever since that specific Masters, we've watched it every Sunday together since. So I'd say the 2004.
That's awesome. Joe?
Well, kind of a in-person thing that I thought was really cool. I'm going to go off the grid a little bit. And it was 2014, we got to go to the Wednesday practice round, which meant the par three. And I said earlier, we dropped our seats on the eighth green. And as a lot of you know, the eighth hole is a downhill par three. So from the green, it's a little tough to see who's up the top of the hill. And I'll never forget the moment, because behind the eighth green, they have a scoreboard where they put the names of the next group that's coming on. And we were just sitting there and we were waiting to see who was going to come next. And all of a sudden it said, Gary Player, Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer. And I was like, okay, this is the coolest thing ever to see these three guys hit into the green. And then they all came down and obviously everybody went crazy as they were walking down the hill. And that was a special moment for me because I've always been, I went from Arnie to two live guys as my favorite golfers, from Arnie to Greg Norman to Phil. And to see Arnie in person was really special.
That's awesome. Jonathan?
Yeah, I think the first time, it had been 2010, and it was still surreal to think that we lived in Augusta. And I remember beautiful spring Sunday, the windows were open, and I'm watching the Masters on TV, and there was a Tiger roar. And about 30 seconds later, it bled through my window. Because I didn't live that close to the course. It's just the echoes across the hills and everything. And I just remember thinking, I live in Augusta, Georgia, where this is being played. And then the first time I got to go in the morning, you mentioned Gary Player, the elder statesman taking their first tee, right? And I walked up on number one as the ball carried over whenever they were hitting it off for their ceremonial first tee. And then we talk about all the time, golf is about who you're with. First time I got to go with my son Sunday afternoon, walking the course, getting him a hat. And I remember the excitement when we were leaving. He's like, I said, that was a pretty cool first time experience, right? He goes, yeah, I can't believe we got to go for the first time. And this grown man who's in his 50s, he's like, it was my first time too. And so like, just that whole experience, it isn't lost on me that I'm in Augusta around Masters time, especially. Robbie and I talk about this, to be able to have the chance for someone to call and be like, hey, are you busy today? Why don't you come on? And so it is surreal to be in the same town as an event like this that's actually happening.
Yeah.
How about you, Robbie?
Yeah. Being in Columbia, I mean, there's the similar, an hour down the road. It's a similar hold your breath. Is somebody going to call? And I think, like you said last year, you're like, I got to call my boss. And your response was, well, I'm not calling him to tell him I'm, or ask permission. I'm going to tell him I'm not going to be here. a couple stand out. One, I mentioned earlier, took the kids to the 2016 Wednesday practice round. And that was the year after Jordan Spieth has won. And the year he did not win because of hole number 12. But we, had the kids there. They got every autograph in the world. It was really cool. On the way out, a gentleman took our family photo in front of the board, and he said, "Hey, let me look at your flags." And he said, "Did you get Willett on there?" And I'm like, "I don't know." We looked at it real quick and didn't see Danny Willett's name on there. And all right, you must be asking for a reason. He's like, "Well, I was his college coach at UAB or something, wherever he went." So it's pretty cool. Got to meet Danny Willett's coach on Wednesday, and of course, he won on Sunday. So kind of crazy, but. Also, the 2005 Masters, I believe Tiger won that one. I don't remember much from that Sunday because our son was born the next morning. So we knew that was happening, and it was kind of hard to concentrate on the 2005. But all right, so Jonathan and I on the Whole Story podcast, you guys have seen it. We normally do this thing called a quick nine. We're going to do a quick three today, and I'm going to throw a curveball, a couple questions. Since I've already asked a couple of these, I'm going to ask a couple different ones. But it's we're going to do a quick three, kind of rapid fire. I'll go around the horn and ask a couple of these questions. So let's see. Kirsch, I'm going to start with you. Favorite hole?
14. I think it has the coolest green.
Okay. Joe?
10. Great downhill, little bend to it. Really cool hole.
Very nice. Jason?
I'm going with 10 as well. I mean, the slope in the fairway and just – the way that the fairway is angled to an uphill green is just unbelievable.
All right, AJ?
13. I got to get on that green in two.
Yeah.
Got to.
Yep. All right, Mark, favorite hole?
12.
12.
Big fan of par threes.
Nice. Jonathan?
Yeah, right behind me. Number four, 240 yards. I'd like to see if my three iron could stay on the green.
Yeah. Well, I'm going with number 12 as well. Just iconic, right? You got to go with it. So, all right, next question. Jonathan also, Mark, I'm going to go with Mark. Sorry, Jonathan. Favorite past winner of the Masters?
Oh. Tiger Woods. Yeah.
Tiger? Did he win it once or? I'm just kidding. AJ?
Yep, absolutely. Tiger Woods. Yeah. Oh my God.
Kirsch?
Obviously the cat, but I'm going to actually say Ben Crenshaw because his coach was Harvey Pinnock. And for the last 30 plus years of my life, and it is to this day, the little red book is still sitting next to me on my nightstand every night. It's still my only golf instructor ever. So I have a soft spot for Mr. Crenshaw and his courses are awesome.
Okay. Jason?
Arnold Palmer. Just absolutely loved who the guy was as a person, and named my first son after him.
Nice. All right, Joe?
Phil. Phil. Just love Phil. Yeah, the emotion he has for Augusta is pretty amazing. He loves it there.
Lefty. Jonathan?
I thought about lefty, but I'm going to stay on the right side of the golf ball. Bubba, whenever he hit that, what was it, the number 16 out of the pine straw, like that little hook deal? And how can you not like a guy?
10.
Was it 10? How can you allow like a guy who for the dinner the next year had barbecue? Like, come on.
Yep. That is pretty special. Well, I think I'll go with old Tiger as well. Jordan Spieth's up there. I mean, Scotty's and there's so many great winners. So, all right, final question on the quick three here. I'm going to ask you later who you think is going to win this year. Who's your dark horse to win? Who's your dark horse pick that nobody else might be picking? Joe, I'm going to go with you.
Oh, man, that's a great question. Geez, I don't know if he's a dark horse, but maybe Kepka's got a real chance. You know, he seems to love the majors, so, yeah.
All right. Jason?
The way he's playing this year, I wouldn't consider him a favorite, so I want to go with Rory. I mean, he's kind of – since his win, I think it was in Dubai back in January, he's kind of been quiet. So I'm hoping that he wakes up and gets that Grand Slam.
Yeah, I saw a stat today that said if he doesn't this week get in the top 10, it'll be like the first time he hadn't had one prior to the Masters in a calendar year.
Yeah, so, he's been really quiet.
Yeah. David?
Say Sahith Theegala. Nice. I think he's been playing well. You can spray it a little bit in the right spots there, and he's just a good enough ball striker to get the ball just close enough in some of those spots. So I'm going to say Theegala.
Okay. AJ?
Ooh, I'm stuck between Tommy Fleetwood and Corey Connors. Nice. I bet on Corey Connors for like the past 6 years. I'm not going to bet on him this year. Hopefully that it does him some good luck.
Yeah. He always plays very well there.
Yeah.
Mark?
Gosh, this is a silly pick, but, you know, I just watched Full Swing and saw all the stuff about Joel Damon not, you know, playing well and needing a sports psychologist and stuff. And so I'm just going to pick him for every tournament as an underdog until he comes and breaks through. Because like I said, I love a redemption story.
There you go. There he is. Buddy won this past week, so. It was fun to watch him celebrate with. So maybe that gives him some good vibes going into.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's going to win, but you said dark horse. Yeah.
Yeah. Jonathan?
Ricky Fowler.
Nice.
There you go.
That's a good one.
Yep. That would be awesome.
Orange on Sunday. Oh, that'd be so great.
All right. Well, I'm going with a guy who's going to see it for the first time, Ludvig Åberg. That would be my dark horse pick. But I don't know. I mean, he's probably got pretty good odds compared to a lot of other people, but you know, it'll be fun. So, all right. So final question, we're going to go around and we're going to say who we think is going to win this year, the 2024 Masters. So Jonathan, I'm going to start with you.
Yeah. Got to go with my spirit animal, Tommy Fleetwood. I'm growing out my hair, hoping I get the invite so I can just follow him around for the entire match and get on TV or something like that. But he's been playing well. He's had a couple top 10s. He's always played well, decent at the Masters. And so I'm hoping that this is the year that he comes through.
Okay. Mark?
I think John Rahm goes back to back.
Nobody knows what his game's like, right? We haven't seen him.
Yeah, and I think he's just going to spite everybody. He's just been probably practicing and is fierce and probably missing the limelight a little bit. I'm just going to go with him.
Okay. AJ?
I'm going to go Cam Smith.
Got him a haircut. Did you see that?
That's what I was going to say. Cut his hair. Maybe the new flow is going to do something for him here.
Yeah. So it's not his locks aren't hanging over back of the jacket there.
That's right.
There you go. Jason?
The way he's been playing, I don't know how you don't pick him. I'm going with Scheffler. I mean, the guy's been absolutely lights out.
Yeah. Joe?
I got a funny feeling this is the year that Xander Schauffele gets one. I just got a funny feeling. I mean, he's played well off and on the last month and a half. And I don't know. I think he's got a shot.
Okay. Kirsch?
I was going to add, Nolan Up always plays the game who's definitely not going to win, trying to fly closest to the sun, and who's going to finish second, essentially. And Xander is definitely going to finish second this week. And I'm going to throw a little challenge flag, Robbie, on the Oberg dark horse. He's the eighth betting odds. So it's going to be Scotty. Scotty's going to hit the ball. He's going to be able to five putt wherever he needs to five putt from. And the ball's going to be close enough that he's going to have enough tap in birdies and eagles. And he's just hitting the ball better than anybody else on the planet right now. He's got the best odds that anybody's had against the field since the cat. So I'm going to go with Scotty.
Yeah. Well, my pick as well will be Scotty Scheffler. I think everything you guys have said, Jason and David, I completely agree with. He is the best golfer right now. So it'll be fun to watch. Any final thoughts or comments on the Masters that you guys want to throw out? We'll do a little open forum here. Anybody got anything?
If Scotty doesn't do well, we might have to not do picks because this is like Ryder Cup all over again. We've got so many people. Oh, it's got to be him.
It was only three of us. Everybody, that'd be different.
There was a lot of head shakes in that one going. We just picked somebody else because we didn't want to say him.
And
three of you did say him. Exactly right. Yeah, and so all of a sudden, if he's like missing the cut by three strokes on Friday, it'll be like, this did not age well.
Well, you know, when he does win, he'll need three people to come join him, and he's got three. At
he
least
he does have three fans
right here in a row. So
that's right.
Perfect. We'll see you guys there. All right. So, any other thoughts on the 2024 Masters coming up?
Well, not this year, but I do have a funny story if you want to hear it about.
Yeah, let's go
about the practice round. The first time we went, it was the ninth hole. Ernie Els hit his drive up the left side of the fairway, and everybody kind of moved out of the way and backed up. And I'll never forget, a woman stood behind a tree about 50 yards in front of him. And when he hit the ball, she literally swung around the tree to see where the ball was going, and the ball hit her right in the stomach. And Ernie Els just looked at her like, "You are an idiot," and he left the ball there and he just walked up the fairway, and that was the end of the hole.
Wow. You can have the ball as your autograph for being
right away. Right. And the red mark on your stomach.
Yep. Well, it should be a lot of fun, guys. This has been a lot of fun. Maybe we'll have to pull back together and chat about it as the tournament finishes up, but yeah, we really appreciate all these guys here, Jonathan, David Kirsch, Joe, Mark, Jason, AJ, thank you guys for joining us on a Best Ball Roundtable to talk about the Masters. Appreciate you guys listening. Hope y'all enjoy it. Have fun at the Masters. To all the patrons that get out there, but everybody else who'll get to watch. Plenty of Masters coverage through the Best Ball channels and the different things we got going on. So keep following along there. But this is Robbie for all the guys. We appreciate it.